Welcome to the Legacy and Faith Show, featuring estate and tax attorney Paul Grant. The Legacy and Faith Show is about the journey of discovering how to create plans that protect wealth and family values for generations. And now the host of the Legacy and Faith Show, Paul Grant.
Along with Mark Holland, co-host of the Legacy and Faith Show, again with estate and tax planning attorney Paul Grant. Hello once again, Mr. Grant.
Hello, Mark. How's it going?
Really good. You got a great name for anything having to do with finances. Grant. I always think of Grant. Although that means kind of a giveaway sometimes. But hey, you're giving advice on the radio this week with the program.
That's correct.
Hey, this week we are continuing our discussion on the importance of the will, but we're going to launch into what about the trust, the living trust, as it's sometimes referred to as. First of all, we'll review a little bit of what is a will and why is it so important to estate planning?
Yeah, a will, then, as we talked last week, is a document that is critical to any plan. It needs to have the opportunity to protect an estate, specifically if we ever landed in court. So it really is the court document.
Okay.
It is our entrance into court for one reason or another, whether that's to set up a personal representative to act on the behalf of one who's passed away, whether it's for guardianship issues, which we mentioned a little bit last week, or whether I did something wrong and then died from it, and I have a liability we have to defend. So there's many reasons why we may end up in court that needs the will, but the will is the entrance into court, telling the court who is my representative and who can act on my behalf.
We mentioned, too, that so many people don't have a will, die without a will, and then they're all of their decisions are given to the court, and we want to avoid this.
Correct. Yeah. Statistically, 50% of Americans, 65 or older, do not have a will. That number still astounds me. It rolls off my tongue, and I say it so naturally now, but if you really stop and think about it, that's a pretty astounding number, in my opinion. And we talked several shows back about that many people don't understand what an estate is. It's not just money. It's about you as a person to start with in your powers of attorney and everything that we need to protect ourselves during our lifetime. If we need to adjust power or when we die, a will or a trust, which is the disposition document. So the will, and this is one thing I really didn't get the opportunity to talk much about, is that a will is really a check writing instrument, which is one of my bigger concerns with a will, is that it directs who can get what I have left over. So in other words, I haven't used something during my lifetime, and now it says, go to this person. But all the will can do is write a check. So if I have something and it goes to my girls, they're 20 and 21 right now, then they inherit all of my estate with a simple check. It doesn't matter whether they're financially astute, whether they've been trained financially, whether they have addictive behaviors, whether or not they're in a bad marriage, or whether or not in X many years they get into a bad car accident that happens to be their fault. All of these things then become either creditors or predators and risk our inheritance being taken away from our true intention. This is one of the more difficult things I have in utilizing a will as the only aspect of estate planning is the part that says I'm going to simply give it away, and whatever happens, happens. I can no longer protect, I can no longer direct my children if something happens to me. So that's the basics of a will, and that leads us right into maybe some of the differences between a will and a trust.
Okay, well, what is the difference between a will and a trust?
So, as we just said, the will document is, this is where I want my stuff to go, and write them a check. Now, there's one other type of a will, and it's called a testamentary trust. That's when we use a will document, and we stick a trust in the middle of it. And so then a trust springs out of the will, the testamentary document.
Okay.
All right. In my opinion, as an estate planner, that document should no longer be used. It used to serve a purpose back in the 90s when it became popular. But the tax code is far more complicated, and it's setting up a structure to protect children, even if they're minors, needs more attention than just sticking a trust in a will. So there really are three different documents. There's a will, there's a testamentary trust, but still that comes out of the will. So that's a hybrid. That's a, I'm trying to stick a will in a trust. And then there is a revocable living trust. Now, a revocable living trust, if you can imagine with me, if you had a cup, okay? And in a cup, we can put many things. I like coffee. So I'm going to put coffee in my cup. Now, the coffee represents all of my assets. I get in the morning, I get my cup out, I put my coffee in, and because I'm holding my cup, I have full and absolute control of everything that's in my cup. I can take a drink, I can share it with somebody, I can give it away, I can do whatever I want with what's inside my cup because I hold the cup and I control it. That's really, for trying to give a visual to somebody, that's really what a trust is. A trust is a legal document, the cup itself, that I've listened to the concerns and visions of a client. I've added the legal sufficiency and the tax sufficiency, and we've created the cup itself. Then what we need to do is we need to take every asset, checking accounts, investments, homes, property, businesses, and we need to retitle them into the name of the cup. So if my cup was called the Paul Trust, then we would want nothing in the name of Paul Grant anymore.
Right.
We would want it in the name of the Paul Trust. That way the asset gets into the cup. It jumps into the cup, and whatever is in that cup, then the instructions attach to that item. So the objective in utilizing a revocable living trust is that we build the trust itself, retitle all of the assets, and then put you in charge so that you have full and absolute control of all of your assets, just like you do right now. So it really does not change anything in your life, except that now we have a document that can be far more expressionate in the terms and vision that you want to play out for your family and the direction of how you want your assets managed.
Well, I found too, because I was involved with the trust. I was the executor of my aunt's estate. She set this up and told me years in advance, you're going to be my executor.
Congratulations
well, and,
for you.
And it was a beautiful, I could tell a lot of work went into it preliminarily by her. Putting all, like you say, all of the parts of her estate into this trust. But what I found with it that was so nice was we didn't have to deal with the estate at all, with the courts,
right.
Other than paying taxes. That's the only time we ever had to, they ever wanted to hear from us or ever legally had to hear from us. We were able to take care of it all privately.
Yeah, that's right. And that's because a trust is a contract. So I can go into a contract, and that contract can be upheld in any state. So if I can develop a business relationship with someone in California, it doesn't matter if it's a Washington contract or a California contract, that would be enforceable in either of our states. That's really what we're doing is we're leveraging contract law to make a determination of this is what's going to happen to my estate when I pass away. And because we're leveraging a contract, we can fulfill its terms privately. We can hold it back at the family level
right. Instead
of needing like a will to go to the court to have it authenticated. Now, of course, there's certain things that we need to do, whether it's a will or a trust. We need to give notice to beneficiaries. We need to give copies to those who are entitled to it. So there's an entire law set out about how to manage trust and how to close them properly. But the benefit is no probate. And it is a private document. Here's the big deal. A trust will last longer than me. So therefore, if I die, my trust is still in effect. Versus a will is a document that sits in my drawer and actually does not come alive or have any legal teeth until I die. And then it's only open for the period of time that the probate is required.
Right.
So a a will comes alive at my death and then closes 6 or 9 or 12 months later whenever the probate is done. And now that document is now gone. However, a trust, we can start building legacy and long-term vision and long-term purpose into it because it does not die with me. It remains, and it remains alive. That's why when I put instructions for what, again, I'll just use my family because it's the easiest thing, and I don't mind sharing. My girls are not going to appreciate listening to these podcasts, but sorry, girls, this is just the way it is. So now I have the ability to continue my voice as a father to my girls at a very tender age of 20 and 21 when they're still learning. So if something happened to me, there, I have created the opportunity to continue to protect and voice who I am over my children. Because I think there's a real misnomer, and maybe we can get back to this after our first break, but I think there's a real misnomer in Christianity of what it means to release your children. It is not to cut them off or to stop being a voice in their life. It is a separation so that they could be bound to their spouse. And if we really look at it biblically, all the way back in Genesis, where God said, for this purpose, a man shall leave his father and his mother and be joined to his wife. That was for a binding that only a husband and a wife were intended. And so if I could be very candid, that is for a strong sexual relationship that we are bound to our spouses and intimate with them and them alone. And there is, when Jesus referred back to this, it was a strong separation. The Greek word there means a violent separation. Hmm. And that's really important because if I'm going to be bound to my wife emotionally and physically, then it should be a strong and violent separation from my parents. Do you not agree?
Absolutely.
So, but I think we've taken that a little bit too far. So it looks like we're not going to get into this after break. We're going to get into it now.
Okay.
That we've taken it potentially a little bit too far. In that we've said that in order for me to release my children, that I need to almost stop being a voice. I need to stop being a guide. I need to stop being that person with spiritual wisdom. And we've almost separated ourselves from what I think God actually wants us to be, which is the continual blessing and the continual connection. Now, not overbearing, right? There are certainly things that we need to allow our children to grow up in, but not to release them to such an extent that we stop being the voice of wisdom and guidance in their life, in their marriage, in their spiritual journey. And this is really what a trust can do. A trust can be my continued voice to my daughters, even when I'm not here.
Okay, well, this is very interesting, the differences between a will and a trust. This week on the Legacy and Faith Show with estate and tax planning attorney Paul Grant. People are intrigued. They want to find out more about maybe a living trust. How do they get in touch with you, Paul?
You can check out our website at legacyandfaith.com. Lots of stuff there. Educational classes, which is the only way that you can get to me. There's other events going on, and you can ask questions, a myriad of information. So go check us out at legacyandfaith.com.
Okay, back with more of the Legacy and Faith Show in just a moment.
Hi, this is Paul Grant from the Legacy and Faith Show. I want to encourage you to head over to our website, legacyandfaith.com. We provide educational seminars designed to give you a starting point for your estate planning needs. We discuss things like what documents are needed in every estate plan, how do I protect the next generation, what are estate tax issues, and how do I plan for minor or special needs children. Come on over to our website, legacyandfaith.com, and discover a host of information, sign up for an educational class, or ask a question. That's at legacyandfaith.com.
Your photos, slides, scrapbooks, and home movies are invaluable and irreplaceable. Barry Kenny here with the Bear Services. Call us to save them as digital files to be stored electronically and shared liberally. We will even come to you so they stay in your possession. Go to thebearservices.com for more information. That's TheBearServices.com.
We now return to the Legacy and Faith Show, featuring estate and tax attorney Paul Grant, and continue today's practical discussion to apply biblical principles for kingdom purposes.
The Legacy and Faith Show, Paul Grant, Mark Holland co-hosting with Paul today, an interesting discussion of wills versus trusts. Before we get back into that interesting discussion, you wanted to kind of expand a little bit on the kind of thing people can find out at your website, Paul.
Yeah. If you're listening to this show on Wednesday, then we do have a Kingdom Builders conference coming up on this Saturday. It's not too late to sign up. If you're listening to this on Saturday, then it's too late to sign up. However, so that is also there. But I think there's some questions of exactly how to engage or start the conversation with me personally. So if that would be one of your desires is, well, how do I get in contact with Paul? The website is really the only way. Even if you were to call the firm, and notice I don't give out the phone number, it's not going to be on the website, is that we would redirect you back to the website as a starting point anyway. So therefore, the website is intended to be the first step in your journey of connecting. You can ask questions. I'd love to get your questions. If there's a way that I can answer questions and have this show be more specific to what the listening audience desires to know, or to ask a question about a specific topic that I haven't covered yet, I would love that opportunity. The website can give you the ability to ask a question to me specifically. And then there's events then that we host. They are educational events. They are about estate planning in general. What's the difference between a will and a trust? So a lot of the things that we've discovered through the journey of many shows are captured in one discussion. They're never more than 2 hours. So typically I speed talk through them and it's 90 minutes, but then we have questions and that will kind of help people stay a little bit longer. But multiple opportunities. So we have one that is specifically focused if you have minor children. We have one specifically focused on whether you have $1 million or more. We have one that is focused if you are older and you don't have much, and how do we protect from Medicaid and do other protection measures in our estate. So there's many different classes, and the website will take you through several different questions, and then at the end, it's going to give you a recommendation of different educational opportunities that would be right for you based upon those questions and the times. And then you can just register right there. And we'd love to have you into our Linwood office through that opportunity. So that's really the way that you get to us at Planning with Purpose is through the website and through an educational opportunity.
Like legacyandfaith.com sounds like a great website. And also podcasts of these shows are there too. And I think we're working on even a video part of this. These are being videotaped.
They are. I have a video camera in here. So I'm not sure if that's good, bad, or indifferent. But if you want to take a peek at how I look when I do these shows, there you go.
Okay. Well, hey, just before the break, we were talking about trusts and you were into this idea of how to kind of control and direct the lives of your children specifically with a living trust.
Yeah.
You mean control them financially? Is that what we're talking about?
Yeah.
If you behave this way, you don't get X money or vice versa?
Well, we can do that, but I really don't like the word control.
Okay.
Now, remember, I'm an attorney.
But this is a concern of people.
It is.
They've got kids. They know, so, like you've said before, some are maybe more adept at handling money than others.
Yep.
And you don't want some kid to get a bunch of money and just blow it.
Right. So. We all have different skill sets, right?
Right.
And some people have a great skill set at managing finances. Others don't. Some of our children are healthy. Some are not. We have a lot of special needs clients that have children mm-hmm. that need long-term, lifelong care in
sure.
special needs.
Mm-hmm.
We have others whose kids struggle with addictions or just have no ability to manage money whatsoever. So we can help and assist. Now, there's kind of maybe the words that I prefer instead of control. And remember, like I was going to say, I'm an attorney, so I am a control freak, and I like to stay away from the word control. The objective here is not to control people from the grave, because I think that most people look or perceive trust as an opportunity to control. And it can be that. So I can do anything that somebody wants, right? Because ultimately, it's about the client's vision. The vision that God has given them for long-term financial and family wealth. But a high majority of clients have no desire to control. They have no desire. Now, what they do have a passion about is giving a voice and being able to assist and give some boundaries and limitations so that, like you said, it doesn't become the big, shiny new object. I've looked back at my life, and so this is going to be very candid, but it's okay. We're here to be candid. I've not made every decision in my life financially that I'm real proud of. I don't know if anyone else out there has made a financial decision that you look back on and you go, dang, I wish I wouldn't have done that. or you got the bonus at work, or you got a little extra money and all of a sudden you didn't manage it quite right. And when we have, for many of us, just a one-time opportunity to receive an inheritance, or most of us, having that opportunity to ensure that it is going to be properly managed and properly utilized is really a big deal. And here's where I tend to take most clients, is that a trust can be, when it's properly formed, can be the greatest protection that we leave our children. So remember, before break, I was talking about a trust is a cup. And we put our belongings into the truck and trust into the cup, and it survives longer than we do. Now, during my lifetime, I receive absolutely no asset protection from that type of a trust, from a revocable living trust. There's revocable or there's irrevocable.
Yeah.
Right. And so, so revocable trust means I'm in full and absolute charge to the point to where I could take everything out of my trust, put it back in my personal name, and throw my trust through a shredder. Perfectly revocable, absolute control. As a matter of fact, so much control that we still use your social security number on the assets, even though it's going to be in the name of the trust. So therefore, because they're your assets, because your social security number is on them, and because you have absolute control, there is no asset protection to you. So as the creator of a trust, a revocable living trust, there is nothing that changes in my life, including that if I drive and I make a driving error and I hit somebody, I am liable and they can come after what's in my trust. Now, that conversation completely changes if I die. If I die, now the revocable trust becomes an irrevocable trust. Now that it's become irrevocable, because remember, same type of a discussion last week, is that when I die, I can't sign my name. So therefore, I can no longer make amendments, and the revocability has moved to become irrevocable. Now, everything changes. Now that cup, when it's handed to my girls, it'd be split. But instead of just writing them a check, I can hand them a cup of their own saying, this is your portion from my estate. Okay. They each get their own cup, but here is the amazing part. With the proper language in a trust, there is a shield of protection that can go over that cup. And that shield is the strongest shield known in law. There is no insurance product that can match what we can do as attorneys in a revocable living trust that has now become irrevocable. So not only am I just giving my assets, whatever it may or may not be, to my children, but I am setting it up that it is a protected entity. Well, protected from what, you might ask? Well, how about if one of my daughters ended up having a real time of struggle in their marriage and their marriage didn't work out? What are the divorce statistics nowadays? I don't know. I lose track of them.
50%?
Yeah. And unfortunately, the church is not immune to that same percentage, actually. It has a slightly lower, if I'm not mistaken.
Yeah, it is lower.
But it's not that much more stellar.
Right.
So we understand, as even as believers, that our children can walk through a difficult journey. Well, would you like your inheritance that you intended for your children to be taken from a spouse that is walking away from your child. I tell you what, as a father, there is no way I want my no good son-in-law. I'm sure they're never going to be good enough. I probably shouldn't say that because someday they'll come along and they'll listen to this. No, you're really good enough. It's okay. That I don't want them walking away with what I've intended for my girls. I'm very protective as a father. And so therefore, I want to set up a mechanism of giving them guidance. I want to set up a mechanism that will protect them in case they make a mistake or life doesn't turn out quite as well as what I had hoped. See, a will, when we just give it away, we hope and we wish that life is going to turn out perfect. But I have yet to meet somebody who has a perfect life and doesn't stumble at some place. A trust is an opportunity now to protect and get it to the right people. Mm-hmm. So last thing, and we got to wrap up for today, is
yeah,
that
big subject.
Is that it doesn't mean that I have to control them. I can give them extraordinary opportunity to utilize what I've left. So it can be a mix of protections and opportunity. So I don't have to restrict my girls. It just means I get the privilege of keeping other people away from who I want it to go to.
Okay, the powerful vehicle of the living trust this week. I can tell we might need to revisit this subject again. We didn't talk about taxes and trusts. Are trusts only for wealthy families? Some of these questions will be answered in future broadcasts of the Legacy and Faith Show with estate and tax planning attorney Paul Grant. People are intrigued. They want to get in touch with you and use your services. How do they do that, Paul?
Come on over to our website, legacyandfaith.com. A host of information right there.
Okay, Legacy and Faith Show with Paul Grant here on KCIS.
Thank you for joining us for the Legacy and Faith Show. You can find more information about the show and Paul Grant at legacyandfaith.com. Join us next week at the same time as we learn to build God's kingdom and continue our journey on how to protect wealth and family values for generations. All discussions on the Legacy and Faith Show are intended to be about general legal issues. If a situation applies to you, then we encourage you to seek specific legal advice. Please do not rely upon any discussions from this program in place of having a personal relationship with your attorney. Any listener question that may have been answered also does not constitute legal advice and does not establish a client-attorney relationship.